Blog Talk Radio.
Processing the Pain with yours truly, Coach D. I want to welcome you on tonight. Thank you for taking the time to join us for tonight's show. Know that you are loved and appreciated. I thank you for your continued support. And I'm excited about tonight's show. I am going to do something that I have never done before on Processing the Pain. It has been a battle. Amen. This week has really, truly been a physical spiritual, mental, and emotional battle. And so what I would like to do differently is before we move forward with the show, I just want to put on another song, a song of worship, and just set the atmosphere. Father, we just thank you, Lord Jesus. I thank you that you are the eye of the storm. I thank you, Father God, that you're working all things together for our good because we love you and we're called according to your purpose. I thank you, Father God, that according to your word in Genesis 50, chapter 50, verses 20, it tells us that what the enemy meant to harm us, what the enemy meant to destroy us, what the enemy meant to bring us down, what the enemy meant to cause us to lose hope, that God, you are turning it for our good, and that we should be encouraged that you are working all things for our good, Lord. We thank you, Father God. We thank you, Lord, that you had a plan according to Jeremiah 29:11 that says that you know the plans that you have for us, and there are plans to give us hope in a future, an expected end, and we thank you for that, Father. Father, right now, any attacks that's attempting, any weapons that's trying to form against us, Father God, we know that your word tells us that they won't prosper. And so though they may form, they won't prosper, and we thank you for that, Father. We thank you, Lord, also that you sent your word to heal our disease and that we are healed by your stripes. And, Father God, that you watch over your word to perform it, that it shall not return unto you void. So we thank you for that word on tonight, Father. We stand on that word, Lord. We won't be moved. We won't be shaken, Father God, but we will stand firm in your word, Father. And we just thank you, Lord, no matter what's going on around us, no matter what we see with the natural eyes, no matter who's in office, Father God, and who's left office, Father, and who may be coming up to be in office, it don't matter, Father God. But we know that you are still on the throne, Lord, and that you control everything. So we thank you for that right now, Lord. So, Father God, before we go forward, we just want to welcome you into this place, Lord, and ask that you will be with us on tonight. Have your way on tonight, Father God. Allow your Shekinah glory to fall in this place in Jesus' name. And we will be back right after this song.
I can feel it in this place tonight. Spirit of the Lord is here, breaking chains up, lifting heavy loads. Hey, yeah. Something's happening in this atmosphere.
The need to sing prophetically right now.
I can see a new day dawning. I can see a breakthrough coming. And joy comes in the morning. Breakthrough, breakthrough. I can see a new day dawning. I can see a breakthrough coming. And joy comes in the morning. Breakthrough. Yeah, yeah. I
Okay, well, we are back, and again, welcome to the show on tonight. Tonight's topic is present purpose bypass pain. Present purpose bypass pain. Wow, what does that mean? What exactly does that mean? And simply what that means is that where you are presently in your purpose was produced by past pain. And so as I thought about this, and we have a guest on tonight, and we're waiting on him to get into the studio. He's having some difficulties. And so we're going to just continue on. And when he arrives, we'll bring him in. I believe that God has a great word through him. So we're just going to move forward, set the stage, set the foundation about present purpose by past pain. And so when I heard that, I thought, I had to taste it, and I had to really think about it, and I had to meditate on it, because I needed to understand, Lord, what are you telling us? And so immediately two stories came to mind, and I'm going to start with the first one, and it's the story of Joseph. And I don't know how many of us on tonight know the story of Joseph, but Joseph, he was anointed. He had a call on his life as a young boy, and he knew that there was a difference with him. But he had some humanistic things. He had some humanity things that he also had to deal with. But Joseph's life turned into nightmares. And the story goes on to tell us about Joseph's brothers selling him to because they were so jealous of him, and they were jealous of the favor that he had with his father, that they sold him to slavery. And they reported back to the father that some wild animal had ate him, and they brought back his dad had made him and given him a robe, and they brought back the robe all bloody and gave the illusion to the father that the son had been killed. And so the father was sad, and so anyway, this Joseph went into slavery, and then he had a couple of negative things that happened with him during the slavery period. He just had, you know, different life experiences, different pains on this journey. And the end result of the journey was that Joseph had found favor. God gave him the ability to translate dreams, and because of that favor that he had, and because of the gift, his gift made a way for him that he ended up becoming something famous where he was at. He became famous, and as the dream that he had actually translated for Potiphar's house, I believe, the dream that he translated that spoke about a famine in the land. And because of that dream, and because of Joseph being able to translate that dream, Joseph was able to be proactive and prepare and plan for the famine so that it wouldn't affect the land. And so he had put away enough in store that when people would come during this famine, they wouldn't lack any food, that they would still be able to feed everyone, and that there would be no problems. So I'm going to ask everyone to hold on for just one second, please. And so as we would have it, I apologize for that. As we would have it, he was able to feed the land. And so could you imagine who showed up but his brothers? His brothers showed up during the famine, not knowing who Joseph was, because he didn't look like the little brother that they had sold to slavery. So not knowing who Joseph was, the brother shows up, and Joseph fed him. And he gave them food, sent them back to their father. They still did not know that they were dealing with Joseph. And he went back and fed his father. They fed their father. They fed their family. But Joseph knew who they were. They didn't know who he was. End result was that they finally found out that it was Joseph, and they were scared that Joseph was going to punish them because of the things that they had done to him in the past. They were afraid of that. But Joseph showed mercy upon them. He showed grace to them, and he brought them back to live with him in this land. So that is a great example present purpose by past pain. And so that's what our show topic is going to be about this evening. It's going to take you to a place where you will really begin to understand that your past pains, whatever you went through in the past, whatever life you lived in the past, you don't have to be concerned about how that affects your present, because God has a way of turning nothing into something. He has a way of turning things out for our good. He has a way of working it through. And so we've seen that with Joseph, that his pain produced his purpose. We've seen it with Saul, passionate about persecuting the Christians. He was passionate about that. He believed in that. That was his belief. But on his way to Damascus, on the road to Damascus, he had a up close and personal experience with God. And because of that experience, it changed him. It changed his passion. His passion was converted, and he began to be passionate. It changed his name. And Paul began to be passionate about Christians, and he began to be passionate about the gospel. And he went forth into the land and became an apostle for the gospel of Jesus Christ. So that's another situation where you can see his path was painful to many, but yet it was turned around. So we know that on tonight, as we begin to move forward, we will be able to see how our pain has brought us to where we are now. I believe that the pains that I've experienced in my life has brought me to where I am today. I believe that the ministry that's been birthed out of me, that God has birthed out of me, is a direct result of some of my life experiences, my life journey, my pains, my experience, all the things that I had to go through in life. When those things, when we begin to process them, then those things become our ministry. Those things become our testimony. Those things become the very things that we are passionate about. I'm passionate about seeing people delivered. I'm passionate about seeing people whole. I'm passionate about us getting to where we need to be. So without further ado, I want to introduce and welcome to the studio our special guest, Ray Williams. Are you in the studio? Man of God, are you there?
Yes,
okay.
I am.
Well, welcome to the studio on tonight. I know we had some miscommunication, so for that I apologize, but I welcome you to Processing the Pain.
Thank you so much. I'm glad to be here. I'm
excited too, and I know that something good is going to happen, because I tell you, the attack has been so strong all week long. So I'm excited.
It has been.
And so what I would like to do, because our studio audience don't know you, and what I like to do, because we're a virtual audience, is I like to be able to paint the picture. So if you wouldn't mind for us just painting the picture and just introducing yourself, telling us, who is Ray Williams?
Well, I mean, Ray Williams is, that's probably one of the most pointed questions I've ever been asked. Ray Williams is a man who has... a very blessed man. Let me start by saying that I'm extremely fortunate. I am an individual who came out of the foster care system. I've been homeless. I've been broken. I've been anointed. I've been gifted. I've been called. I have seen what I believe to be more than my fair share of pain. Ministry has taken me all over the world. I've preached on probably the I won't say every continent, but many of them. I have a love and a passion for people that is unparalleled. I believe, beyond any shadow of a doubt, that I am called by God to have a ministry to hurting people, and I believe I'm gifted to help people process their pain. I was sharing with somebody on my plane coming in that I was going to be on the show tonight, and one of the guys on my staff said, somebody always want to talk, want you to talk about processing the pain. And I thought to myself, you know, I didn't even know the name of the show was Processing the Pain until I began to talk with the producers. And I thought to myself, who am I? I'm a man who's searching for the deep parts of God, and a man who is committed to the ministry of healing and restoration of the people of God here in the earth like you've never seen before. You know, I could tell you about all the degrees and all the other stuff that I've done. And to me, that doesn't necessarily sum up who I am. That's just a portion of the equation. But when you get down to brass tacks of who is Ray Williams, I am passionate. I am powerful. I am prophetic. I am broken. And I believe I've been called with a breaker anointing to break the chains of bondage that people suffer, and just introduce them to the power of God that will free him. I believe that. I believe the only way that you truly get past pain is that the power of God prevails in your circumstance.
Amen. Well, I wanted to I know we spoke, and what was dropped in my spirit, because as I started praying and really meditating on what direction do we want to go on tonight? And so this is probably very unorthodox because of the simple fact that I didn't give you a series of questions that I'm going to ask you. We didn't pre-plan or anything like that. I'm really trusting the Holy Spirit to just be able to know the needs of the people listening in on tonight, and that the words that he speaks to you would be words specifically for each individual that has made a decision to listen in on tonight. I did lay a foundation, and we spoke about present purpose by past pains, and basically indicating that our past pain produce our present purpose, and that there's a purpose for the pain. And so I think I want to just start that. And before you came into the studio, I was mentioning to the listening audience, I brought up two stories that really reflect that very well. And one was the story of Joseph, and the other was the story of Saul before he was Paul. And so that's just kind of giving you a little history of what I had already introduced to the audience on tonight. So with that being said, I guess I could begin to ask you some questions, but I know that you have something for that. I know that you have something that you could relate to, or that you could speak from experience from your own pain, because we all have a path and we all have pain that we have gone through to get to where we are now. And I would think, what would you say to the audience that's listening? Because somebody is in pain right now and they're not understanding that pain. And if they're not careful, they can miss the purpose in the pain.
Well, I think it's important to note that whenever we're going through painful predicaments, we're not alone. God has not abandoned us. God has not seen us as a stepchild and left us. But I think oftentimes, in order to properly process pain, we really have to have this resolve to keep proper perspective. When you're hurting, it is easy to focus on what the hurt is, and how you're hurting, or who's hurt you. But I believe that pain owes you a profit. And what I mean by that is, I didn't hurt for anything. I didn't hurt for no reason. My pain owes me a profit. There is something disguised in my pain that is preparing me for my purpose, that's going to propel me into the most powerful place that I've ever been. And provided that I can keep proper perspective and realize that though I'm being touched by this infirmity, though I'm being touched by this painful situation, that God has something greater in it, that even if the enemy sent the attack from the pit of hell, there is purpose wrapped up and tied up in it. And if I will keep my perspective, I often look at when David said, though he slay me, yet will I trust him. And when you're going through, that's a difficult pill to swallow. I mean, we're human, because, you know, our human nature says that we should push away from pain and we want to stop hurting. And that's normal. But I believe if you look past the pain and realize that if I can get past the pain, the promises of God are still mine. And those promises are going to take me to a place that is going to birth out my purpose. Because, see, people who have been broken are great purveyors of healing. And oftentimes when we look at people, especially in the ministry front, if you've ever been called to the ministry of reconciliation, the ministry of restoration, you're going to have to go through some level of pain so that you have confirmation for the call that's on you. And sometimes your painful situation is really your confirmation hearings. I mean, as we watch Washington and everything that's going on, they're having confirmation hearings, and I was sitting in on some of that stuff, and I thought to myself, if people would understand that my pain is going to pay me a profit, God said that no good thing that he would withhold from me. So even though pain is happening to me, there is something in it that he's going to extract from it and impart into me that's going to take me to a place that is purposeful, and it's going to give me a power that I've never had before. Because let me tell you something, faith that has not been tested cannot be trusted. And if you're preaching faith and teaching faith, God's going to put you in some places where your faith is going to be tested. And oftentimes when your faith is tested, it comes out of pain. Anointings and giftings are birthed out of pain. Whenever you talk about really being perfected, you're asking God to break you.
Jeez.
Perfect that thing in me. You're asking God to break you. Now, many of us want the courage. Many of us want the breakthrough, but we don't want to be broken. And unfortunately, oftentimes when the enemy sends an attack, he's not attacking me for where I am today. He's attacking me for who I'm going to become tomorrow. But if he can break me for today, I won't believe for tomorrow.
Mm-hmm.
And so when the pain happens, you know, prior to having some level of maturity, I used to always feel like maybe I'd gone wrong or I'd done something that God wasn't pleased with. Now when pain happens, I get excited. And I get excited because I really believe that though the pain has touched me, it cannot soil me. And if this is happening, if the enemy is fighting me this hard and fighting me this strong and fighting me this ferociously, and he's trying to get me to focus on the hurt, he knows what's on the other side of it. And on the other side of it is my purpose. It's my power, and it's his plan being manifested in my life. And so when I go through painful situations now, I begin to rejoice because my pain could be a test that I need to pass.
Woo! I tell you, this is ministering on, man of God, just keep on going. This is ministering to me because I tell you, there, I knew with this show, I knew the excitement. I believed in the show. I knew the confirmation. I knew what this show was going to be about. And I also think I have a little bit, just a little bit of wisdom that when the attacks come heavy, like you said, it's not now, but it's something on the other side. And so there was an attack that came with tonight's show. There was definitely an attack, and it's been stirring up all week, stirring up. So when you speak that, that's just confirmation that not to lose sight and not to be taken by the pain of whatever those attacks are, and not to focus on that, but begin to just actually begin to praise God because you know that in this attack that there's something greater on the other side. So that's definitely confirmation and right on target, a right on target word. So what would we say to people? And I know, you know, we know, okay, there that we have to know that and we have to be prepared. And I know there's people that's going through attacks and they're trying to understand it. And what would be some of the things that you would say as far as what are some preparations, some things that they could do in the midst of these attacks? What are some things that they could do to stay anchored, to stay stable?
It's interesting you asked me that question. I was ministering last night, and the word of the Lord for this season is, don't be taken by the distractions. And so in this season, we have to be more focused on the promises of God than we've ever been focused on before. In our nation, in our world, there are all type of distractions happening, and God is bringing the church back to a place of power, and he's raising up people, men and women of God, to take the church to a place that we've left several years ago. Now, how does that correlate to the question you asked me? Well, fairly simple. At the end of the day, if my focus is on where I'm going, and preparing for where I'm going. As I begin to prepare, there's a grace that's on your life that will cause you to be sensitive to the Holy Spirit in such a way when the enemy plans to attack you, God will force him to reveal his hand. Most times when attacks come, we're caught off guard because we've been disconnected, because either we're fighting an emotional depression, we're in anguish about what may happen, and the Bible says to not be ignorant of his devices. Now, because we're human and we're wrapped and encased in flesh, I think the best way to be prepared is to understand that just because I'm saved, it does not exempt me from the fight with the enemy. And the closer I get to something great, I can almost expect the attack. I'll be honest with you. Whenever God calls me to do something that is bigger than myself, I can always get validation based on the attacks that start coming. And so there's a level of prayer that you can pray in. There's a level of fasting that you can connect with where God will tell you this is a season of battle. This is a season where the enemy is going to throw the darts at you. This is a season where you're going to be betrayed. And so we have to begin to prepare, not perseverate on, just simply prepare for the attack of the enemy based on the goal that we're shooting for. And if you're shooting for nothing, don't worry about it. You're safe, because if you ain't shooting for nothing, he ain't shooting at you. But if you ever decide to have the audacity to do something great, to do something that God has called you to do something that's going to impact the world or lives in a bigger way than you ever imagined possible, then you have to believe that the enemy is coming for you. Another indicator that the enemy will come for you is if you're in a season where you're getting amazing words from God and God is speaking to you. Well, the enemy understands the plan. He understands the trust. But he also understands that it's his job to attack the plan of and the will of God. And so the closer you get to God, the stronger you are and the safer you are. But I think, again, it goes to perspective. And your perspective has to be that I will not be deterred by any darts. I will not be deterred by any temporary setbacks, because every setback, every delay is in my favor. And I think if we would ever get that, we'll go into battle knowing I might be delayed, but it's in my favor. God's moving some stuff, and he's shifting some stuff, and he's raising up some people, and he's waking up some people, and he's letting some people be moved because he's making my crooked path straight. And yes, it's frustrating, and it might even be painful, because in that, I might face some betrayal. I might face some rejection. But when you get to a place of authority, you'll realize that rejection is direction. And if you left me, it's because you couldn't stay. And if you betrayed me, it's because you were not meant to be with me. Because if you needed to be here, if you were designed to be here, you would be here. The Bible says they came out from among us that it might be made manifest that they were never of us. Because if indeed they were of us, they would have remained with us. And so perspective is extremely important. And that perspective is, just because I'm facing a challenge does not negate the fact that God has yet gifted me. I don't care how big the fight is. And I'll be honest with you. When you really get some authority, you look for the fight, and you look to slap a bear. You'll tell the devil, hit me with your best shot. I need to know God's with me, because when you fight, see, I've learned when people fight you, oftentimes they're not fighting you, they're fighting the God in and on you.
Yes.
And perspective says, this too shall come to pass. Perspective says, I'm not so spiritual that I won't acknowledge the battle, but I'm not so wrapped in humanity that I will not also acknowledge that there's a greater war that's being waged for my life. And I have a deeper level in God that will expose the methods that the enemy is trying to use to destroy me. And no matter what happens, I believe that no weapon that is formed against me prospers. Now, that's from a spiritual level. From a very logical perspective, you know, the first thing you have to do is assess the magnitude of the issue, because sometimes we give things more weight than it really deserves. There are certain things that are problems for some of us that if you would travel to some foreign countries, you'd realize your problem ain't much of a problem. And not only that, I come from the school of fix what you can fix and choose not to stress about what you can't.
I'll fix what I can fix, and I'll do what I can do about any circumstance, and the rest I leave with God. It's his will. His will, his bill. There's no bill that I can get that he can't pay. So I can't stress about it, and I have to choose to keep good perspective, because here's the thing. As people of God, we're called to walk by faith. It's very difficult to stay in faith while I agonize. It's very difficult to believe God for breakthrough while I spend time in depression. It's very difficult to get up and make faith confessions when I'm so discouraged and I'm so broken that I can't muster up that energy. And so the solution for that is this. You have to surround yourself with people who could not only speak to you, but who can speak into you. That's very important. When I'm in a storm, I need some storm troopers. I need some people who's been through some stuff. I don't need folk who are praying prayers that they read off the internet and praying prayers that they've heard T.D. Jakes pray. I need some people who have laid and cried before God, who have travailed and who have, you know, birthed some stuff out. And so that's important to keep yourself with a support system that could speak on your behalf and that can intercede for you and with you when you don't have the energy to do it for yourself. So, you know, a huge component is your circle. We were talking yesterday, and I was sharing with you that, you know, I keep my personal life very personal, and it's because in my personal life, I have a small circle of people who I fully know are praying for me. They are praying and warring with me. You understand? When they see the attack coming for me, they will pick up the phone and say, listen, man of God, hey, man, you need to be careful about this, 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 and this. And these are people who will tell me truth.
Right.
These are not yes people. These are people who will tell me truth. I'll share something personal. I just built a new house, and I moved into the house, and it was my first night there. And the enemy literally began to have warfare, and he was trying to tell me that he was going to kill me and that God had brought me to this place to let me die. And so I'm up all night. I can't go to sleep. And to be quite frank, I was a bit afraid. And so I'm just up. I got a light on, but I know that the demonic forces are in my bedroom. I could feel the presence of the enemy. I could feel it. And about 3 o'clock in the morning, my phone rings. And I answer the phone, and it's a prophetess from Camden, New Jersey. I go there to minister in conferences with her. And she says, man of God, the Lord said, go to sleep. Nothing's going to happen to you. They're not going to bother you. You go to sleep. And I thought to myself, I said, do what? She said, man of God, I'm tired. I'm sleepy. The Lord said, go to sleep. You're not going to die. They're not going to bother you. Now, after I hung up the phone, I slept like a baby. But here is the thing. No man is an island to himself. And sometimes as believers, we believe that because we understand the power of prayer and because we understand how to get in touch and get a prayer through, we really negate that we need a support system. And part of being able to prepare for your battle is get yourself a support system that can be accountable for who you are. You don't become great without protection. And I really wish that the body of Christ would understand the protection of greatness. We have to protect those great people that God is raising up in our lives. And you could be the great person that God is raising up. You need people around you to protect you, who will war on your behalf spiritually. And you need people who can give you sound wisdom.
Amen. Amen.
You know, you have to surround yourself with people who have a level of authenticity as well. In other words, if you're in my inner circle, I need to be able to be transparent with you. I need you to see past my title. I need you to see past how long I've been saved. I need to be able to be honest with you. I need to be able to share with you what my plight is. I need to be able to come to you and say, listen, I need you to be in agreement, and here's the ugly truth. Because sometimes the truth is ugly. And you'll be surprised how most people never process their pain, because we're not in a position where I could be truthful, totally truthful and truly authentic about what I'm facing. And that's extremely necessary. If you're ever going to win, you're going to need to be transparent, and you're going to need to be authentic about what your battle is and how you're facing it.
And that
without
is
having
so true.
A sense of shame.
That is so true, and I think that's why we see, oftentimes in the body, we see the defeat. Because oftentimes what you see is leadership that don't have the proper, like you said, the inner circle. Jesus had an inner circle, you know, and I seen a graph where it shows this, you know, it showed his circles, and it showed him having a circle of three and then the circle of 12, and then these circles just kept expanding, but that inner circle. And so it is important that we have men and women of God that, you know, that's in our inner circle that, like you said, that we could go to mentors. I have my mentors, I know, are listening in on tonight. It just so happened that I'm blessed that my mentors are also my parents. And so I could go before and get wise counsel. You know, they know my humanity, meaning, you know, everybody else know Coach D. That's Coach D. That's Coach D. Oh, Coach D. But, you know, but they know me. They know the inner parts of me. They know the struggles. They know when the homegirl come out, you know, they could sense. They could know. There's a knowing when I'm struggling. I don't have to tell them. They don't have to be around me to know I'm struggling because they know me. They you know, like the way we should know Jesus. There should be an intimate knowing that when I'm struggling in my spirit, my mom, I could think of when even before I got to where I'm at, and when I was in that world, I could just remember her at times that she would just pick up the phone and call me, and she would say, "So what's going on with you?" And, you know, she knew if I was struggling financially, if I was struggling emotionally, she would just pick up the phone out of nowhere and said, "Okay, I'm not feeling good today. Something's bothering me today, so I know something must be wrong with you." Or she would say, "I got a bad attitude today." So because she had a bad attitude, she would call me. She'd say, "Something's going on with you because I've been struggling all day." And so I get what you're saying when you're saying you need those people that's around you that's willing to, like you said, go to battle, that they could pick up in the spirit that there's something going on and be able to begin to intercede. And that's very important, who we choose to be around. The other thing on that is that what I often, my prayer is to God is, Lord, shake my tree. Shake my tree, Lord. And you got to be careful you pray that prayer, because when I pray that prayer, before I used to say, "Lord, just shake, you know, if they not no good for me, take them away." And then God started removing people, and I'm just crying and boo-hooing because my feelings is hurt and my emotions. But as time went on, I started to see when I pray that prayer, I'm prepared that some folks is going to go. And sometimes it's folks that you're not expecting to go that's going to be leaving. But it's time. The season has come that these folks are no longer, that they not in this, not for your season. And so I'm learning and continuing to grow in all of this and just recognizing when God is pruning, you know, sometimes we mix up the pruning with the punishing, and I'm starting to learn when it's not punishment, but it's pruning.
Well, here's the thing. I think, and that goes back to perspective, the enemy would convince us that God is punishing me. When I like the way you said it, he could very well be pruning me so that I could bear more fruit in a broader season. And that goes back to my original point. My pain owes me a profit. Processing my pain is necessary because I need the profit of my hurt. My pain must pay me. And through all the hell that I've gone through, all the hell that you may be facing, you have to understand something, that there comes a season of recompense where God comes and he balances the budget. He makes it all right. He makes it all work in your favor. When the Bible says that he prepares a table before me in the presence of mine enemies, like we love that part. But here is the key. If he's preparing a table before me in the presence of mine enemies, he has to identify the betrayers based on the betrayal.
He has to identify the haters based on the hate that they exhume. He has to identify mm-hmm. the hurtful ones based on the hurt that they've left. And he allows me, and this is why you have to process your pain. He's going to let you live long enough to see if it's that your haters can see how blessed you are. He's not going to allow them to totally annihilate you and then you die. The reason you can't be bitter and you can't stay broken is because God wants to use you as a picture of restored reasons and reconciliations, and he allows your haters to have a front row seat of, in spite of what you did to her, in spite of what you said to him, this is what I saw in them. And when you said they were over, I said they had not yet begun. When you said they were finished, I said, no, she was just pausing. Where you put a comma, where you put a period, I placed a comma, and she's not done yet. And he allows them to have a seat at the table. But here's the beautiful thing about it. When he sits you at the table in the presence of your enemies, you can look at the people that hurt you, but you can no longer feel the pain. You can think about the offense, but you're no longer offended. You could think about how broken mm-hmm. they left you, but you're no longer broken. And you look at them and say, you know what? I thank God for you. I'm glad you left me when you left me, because if you had not left me, I'd have never known that I could call on him. If you had not broken me, I'd have never experienced the healing power of the Lord. I am so glad you devalued me, because in you devaluing me, I was looking to you to validate me, but something supernatural happened. He began to tell me that you couldn't help but to devalue me because you were not anointed to appraise me.
Mm. Ooh. Glory.
Ah, my God. Some people can't help but mishandle you because their hands were never built to handle you. And when you get to that place, you realize something, that it's all a part of the package. And here's another thing. Never lose your voice in the midst of your pain. When the devil's talking, why is he the only one speaking? You have a say in the matter as well. He comes and tells you you're not going to make it. You're not going to get through it. He's going to do this, that, and the other. Why is he the only person talking? He comes and tell you he's going to destroy your marriage. Why is he the only person talking? He comes and tell you that he's going to kill you with cancer. Why is he the only person talking? He tells you that sickness and disease are going to take your loved ones. Who gave him the last word? See, when you get to a place where you're ready to process your pain, there's a boldness and there's a tenaciousness that rises up in you. And that goes, again, back to the perspective. I know what God promised, and this don't look like it. And so until I can see what he promised, I'm not quitting.
Amen.
Until I see what he promised, I refuse to quit. God made me some promises, and the God that I serve can do anything but lie. He doesn't have the capacity to lie. So part of me keeping my perspective is remembering my word. And sometimes you're going to be in predicaments where your world does not match your word, but your word will change your world. So don't get so contaminated with your world that you forget to keep confessing your word.
Hallelujah. Yes.
And I'm trying to pace myself here, but I feel because there's somebody hurting. And you need to know, if you can hear my voice, you need to know God is not done yet. And there's somebody even listening tonight. You've been hurting and going through so much, and it seems like God has allowed everything in your life to crumble, that you're starting to question your own faith. You're starting to question whether or not what you believe is even real. But I'm here to tell you that what you believe is indeed real, and the pain that you experience, that also is indeed real. But the promise that's on your life is heavier than the burden that you're carrying in this moment. And if you would properly have God's perspective, you will begin to see your way through even before you come out of it. Because here is the thing. The Bible says that the just, we walk by faith and not by sight. We're not ignorant to what we're facing, but we have a supernatural endowment that says, what I'm facing today, this enemy, I will see no more. It's a matter of me keeping my faith and my perspective in God on who he is. But not only that, when I look at my proper perspective of who he is, I realize how bad I am. The only reason that the enemy is fighting me like he's fighting me is because he knows on the other side of this fight there is promotion, and promotion doesn't come from him, it comes from God. And where God places me, he can't do nothing but watch. This is going to be a season where you're going to tell people, just watch.
Amen.
You know, last season we tried to convince some people. We tried to you know, force them to believe. And this season, just tell them, I tell you what, just watch. It's not over yet. I know it appears that I will not win, but it's not over yet.
Amen. Amen. Woo! Well, what I would like to do is I just want to give our studio audience, I mean, this is just so many nuggets and going forth and just a relevant Rhema word. And so for those who's listening in live in the studio, if you have a comment or a question for the man of God, if regarding tonight's subject, I tell you, I've just been blessed. I'm sitting up here full right now. And God knows exactly what we need when we need it. He knows, you know, whatever the struggle's been for you. Some, you know, maybe some of you have struggled this week, or you're still struggling this week. I know I've struggled this week, and so He just knows exactly what you need when you need it. And even though He may not show up, and I said this, you know, when you think about Abraham and Isaac, and when Abraham had to take, you know, God told him to take Isaac up the hill, and one of the things that was noticeable is that the whole time that Abraham was preparing to take his son, his promise, up here to put him on the altar, he had to prep everything. He had to gather his guys, and he had to, you know, strap up the donkeys and put the supplies, and all this time knowing what he had to go to do. And not one time did God say anything during this whole process. And I'm sure that Abraham was waiting and praying and pleading with God, Lord, give me a sign, tell me something. I know this can't be, but nevertheless. And he went on up the mountain, and it wasn't until he did everything and put Isaac up on that altar and raised his hand that God spoke. And when he looked out, there was the ram. And so saying all that to say is that sometimes when we're in the fight, when we're going through it, we may not hear. God's voice to us may not be audible. We may feel like he didn't disappear. Where you at, Lord? You got to see these attacks. You got to see these arrows. They hit me. You know, maybe they're not prospering, but they still sting. You know, and you feeling that way. And it never fails, though. I don't know about any of you, but it never fails that when I'm just on the altar, feeling like nothing, there's no other option but death, God always shows up. And it's always a ram in the bush. And this message on tonight was, to me, my ram in the bush for what the struggles were this week. So I want to ask the studio audience, if there's anyone that has any questions or comments about tonight's show, dial 1 on your dial pad. That'll let our team know that you have a question or a comment, and we'll bring you in. If not, we're going to continue on. We're going to continue on with the show, but at any time you could dial 1, and like I said, we could bring you in if you have any questions or comments. But, man of God, I tell you, just really a relevant word on tonight, and it just fits so much with the subject that the Holy Spirit gave, because I believe the Holy Spirit gave that subject of, present purpose by past pains, and you have been on it. The Holy Spirit has used you to just really speak and bring that thing to light so that people could get a perception. Because oftentimes we hear things and, we hear words. We hear words. But because we don't even understand the definition or the meaning of the words, we can't get a picture. We can't get a perception of what those words are. And so we can't do what we hear. And so I believe on tonight, and I don't know if anybody in the audience, you want to give a virtual clap or you want to dial that one that could say, tonight, did you get a picture what was being said, what the man of God was saying? Did that become a rhema to you? Did you see a picture, or did you just see the letters? Did you get the spirit of what was being said, or did you just see the letters of what was being said? Because I tell you, it's the letters that kill it. And anytime we're just getting the letter of the word, we'll never be able to do nothing with that. We got to get the spirit of what the word is saying.
Absolutely.
For us to do. Amen.
Absolutely.
We do. We do have a call that has a comment. Caller, area code 310, last four, 1674. Welcome to Processing the Pain.
Good evening, Coach D. Evangelist, preacher, William, thank you so much for your passion. It's awesome. I had to take a deep breath before I called in and not to just come on the air in the voice of I've just been weeping and just rejoicing over the word. I just wish you could slow down because I'm trying to write notes and I can't do it. I lost my gift of stenography years ago, so I really need to capture those nuggets and have them on paper. I'm a visual, so I can go back and look at them in the future. But I just want to share just a brief testimony because Coach D knows we were on a Esther fast this past week, and today the enemy tried to take me out. I mean, literally, physically out. Like almost got hit by a car out. And so I know that, as you said, there's something in the works because he is not happy. The enemy is not happy. And so I just wanted to briefly check in and let you know, Coach D, as usual, home run. God bless you.
Glory.
God bless
Glory.
You.
Glory.
God bless
you. Thank
you
so much for your time and your kind words.
Thank you so much. And I'll make sure you get the archive so that you could rewind it and wind it and rewind it.
Oh, thank
amen.
You.
Amen.
Thank you. Oh, amen. God bless you. Love you
amen.
Much.
Amen. Love you. God bless.
Bless you.
Amen. And so, again, if we have any other listening, anyone listening in on the studio, if you have a question or comment, feel free to dial 1 on your dial pad, and that will let our team know, and we could bring you in. Man of God, we are towards the end. Oh my God, I don't want to go, but we are getting towards the end of the show.
Where does the time go?
Where does it go? I'm telling you, so what I would ask you, if you could just some key points here, some summarize, some bullet points here for those that's listening, and some people are taking notes. And tonight was so much Rhema word. I'm telling you, I'm full. I can't wait to get off the phone so I can start dancing. But just some bullet points for
people. Let's first start with this. Understand that everything's a process. We're talking about processing the pain. Understand that everything is a process. And sometimes you're in process and you may look at someone else who is further along in the process, but resist the urge to compare your predicament to theirs, because comparison will always breed discontentment. Whenever you compare your predicament, your situation to someone else's, you'll always measure yourself short. Secondly, maintain proper perspective. Even while you're hurting, it's important for you to tell yourself, let me keep perspective. And how we do that is remember the promise. The promises of God are not negated because we happen to be in a battle. Remember, not only that, remember that God is there even when bad things are happening and even when tough times seem to be prevailing. See it less as punishment and see it more as preparation. What is he preparing me for? Because oftentimes the thing that has caused you the most pain becomes the very projects that you're the most passionate about. And so in ensuring that your pain pays you a profit, look at where the pain came from. Look at why it hurt the way it hurt. Look at who it came through. And go through the point where you get to a place where you tell yourself it's okay to hurt. See, sometimes we feel like we have to be stronger than we do. It's okay to hurt. I'm human.
It's okay to have bad days where I'm looking at everything that's happened. The important thing to do to note is that true champions don't belong on the mat. You have to choose to get up. And so you may tell the devil, okay, I'm going to be out today, but I promise you this much. I'm coming back. And so build a support system next. Build a support system and surround yourself around people who are authentically true and authentically in the fight with you. And surround yourself with enlightened people, people who can share with you wisdom, people who sometimes you just need people who can listen. I have some people who just like to listen to me. I have a guy who says, you know, if you'll just talk, I'd love to listen. I just want to write down some stuff you say. But in the process, the relationship becomes symbiotic as I get an opportunity to process my own pain while giving him some nuggets of how to navigate his. And so keep yourself in a place where you can be transparent. And then the next thing that you want to do is prepare a party for your coming out. Prepare yourself a party. When I get past this, I'm going to take a vacation. When I get past this, I don't care if you don't do nothing, but just go check into a nice hotel in your city. Prepare your coming out party. Prepare your victory party and tell the devil, we're in a battle now, but rest is soon to come. Prepare yourself. Not only that, I believe it's important to take a pen and a pad, a real pen and a real pad, and write about your real pain and watch how real it gets. Because sometimes we bottle and we internalize, but writing can be therapeutic. You don't have to show it to anyone, just write it down. There are certain things that I write down, and as I begin to write, God will begin to minister to me. Because you'd be surprised at how much more honest you'll be when you write than sometimes we are when we speak. Because sometimes in saying, you know, verbalizing our pain, it hurts all the more. But when we can write it, we still get a chance and an outlet to express it, but it does not necessarily sting as bad. And then lastly, but not least, always, always look at the purpose for which you were hurt. Look at the purpose in it. What did it develop in me? What did it deplete in me? What did I learn from this? What can I learn from this? And how can what I've been through benefit someone other than myself? And typically when you move along those lines, you'll begin to find a purpose. Now, for people who are hurt by loved ones, i.e. a marriage or family members, I often tell people, look at what God's trying to do with the relationship. Focus less on the offense and more on the covenant connection, because sometimes you have to be, you know, the Bible talks about iron sharpening iron. Well, iron can only sharpen iron with friction and heat.
Amen.
Where there's no friction and there's no heat, iron can't be sharpened. So just because we might have friction doesn't necessarily mean we can't be friends. And just because we're having a bad moment doesn't necessarily mean that we should not walk in covenant. It could mean that the enemy is trying to divide us because he sees God's bigger plan. And this is a season where as you begin to heal, you want others around you to heal. The best way to really expedite healing for yourself is begin to make right whatever wrongs you can. That's extremely important. Sometimes we're offended, and we're so offended that we forgot that we may have offended.
Yes.
And what better way to reconcile and to process pain than to think about, well, you know, maybe I offended this person in this regard. And here's the thing. When you become sincere and authentic about you repenting for whatever offense that you committed, you don't even go into it with an expectation of them saying they're sorry. So if they don't, you're not disappointed.
Amen.
And a very key factor that I think everybody needs to get, and I think this may be before the lady that just called in, I need to say this to you because I really feel the prompting of the Lord. You can forgive a person and not restore the relationship. I'm going to say that again because I want her to get it. You can forgive a person and still not restore the relationship. I can forgive you and not have any ill will toward you, but that doesn't mean that I automatically give you an opportunity to burn me again.
Ooh, Jesus.
But I will forgive you, and I will pray for you, and I will earnestly mean you well, but I cannot afford you an opportunity to take up any more space in my life. And you have to be okay with that, because sometimes we're willing to give to people what we're not willing to give to ourselves, and we're also willing to give to people what we know they wouldn't give to us.
Mm.
And somehow we take the responsibility for what they won't give. See, being offended at some point becomes a choice, because I have to choose to take on the offense. I have to choose to say, you know what, I'm going to take this on. Or I can choose to say, you know what, the enemy threw a dart, and I'm going to make a conscious choice to say, ouch, but I'm going to say ouch with a plan of action.
Yeah.
And that plan of action is, I'm not going to stay in an offended place. I refuse to allow this offense to consume who I am. I will not stay in a place of offense. God can't use me in a place of offense, and I want to be used by God. And so I want to commit the offense to him. I want to cast my care on him because I know he cares for me. I want to take the stain of it to him and allow him to heal it. And then I want to try to restore whatever wound, whatever damage that was done. I want him to reconcile and restore it. And the only way I could do that is I got to be ready to let some stuff go. There's some things we need to just let go. Just let it go. Doesn't matter who are right, who are wrong. Because here's what I've learned, and this ain't that deep spiritually, but it is extremely profound when you think about it. The people who offend us, the people who hurt us, those people are sleeping so peacefully without ever wondering or without ever pondering the level of damage they've caused. Why would I allow you to continue to hurt me daily by rehearsing the pain of the past and allow it to become the poison of my future? I will not give you that much power. I will not give you that much power. I will not allow the pain of my past to poison the promise of my future. I refuse to do so. I will allow my pain to be properly processed, and it can propel me to my wealthy place, but I will not allow it to poison the promise of my future. And that's a tough place to be in, but it's a necessary place to be in. It is a necessary place to be in. You have to get to a place where you choose to let it go. Just let it go. They're not carrying it. Why should you? Let it go. But man of God, you don't know what they've done to me, Pastor. You don't know how much I gave to them. No, you're right. I don't. But here's the thing. They took everything you gave. Don't allow them to take you. Keep you for yourself. They took stuff. They took acts of kindness for granted. Don't allow them to poison you to the place where you're so miserable that you don't want to be with you. They don't deserve that, whoever they are.
Amen. Well, man of God, we appreciate you. I tell you, I thank you for being obedient to the Holy Spirit and choosing to be a special guest on our show and allowing God to just use you to minister to his people. I thank you, studio audience, for listening in on tonight and your continued support of Processing the Pain. And thank you for joining us on tonight. I tell you tonight, I know that many have left here with some tools to take and practice. I know that many of us probably came on the show on tonight with pain, coming with pain, and I just pray that the words that were spoken really have began to transform you by the renewing of your mind. So, again, man of God, we thank you on tonight, and I don't know if you would honor us and just pray us out would be perfect. That would be the ending to a perfect show.
Well, Father, in the name of Jesus, God, we just thank you for being able to be in this place, be in this space and this time that you've ordained. Father, you gathered us as a group and you know what you want to impart. And so it's our prayer tonight, God, that we would agree one with another, that whoever can hear us, whoever's listening to this, whatever pain that they're facing, we thank you that your grace is sufficient, and we pray that you would send the spirit of ministering angels to minister to those people. Father, I release an anointing on this line tonight that will console those people who are hurting. I thank you for wisdom and strategies, divine strategies that you would give to those who have been to a, who have found themselves at a place of wit's end. They don't know where else to turn. Father, I pray in the name of Jesus that you would intervene supernaturally, that you would move some stuff, stop some stuff, block some stuff, rearrange some stuff, raise up some people that could be an aid to those people. Father, I thank you that you'll raise up people to use their power, their ability, and their influence to help them. Father, someone tonight is hurting and they have run away from who you are. They feel disconnected. They feel rejected. They feel cast aside. But Father, I pray tonight that you would minister to them in a very special way. Give them something that they can understand. It's in the name of Jesus. Satan, your powers are broken and destroyed. I command you in the name of Jesus to take you and your spirit of agony and depression and defeat back to the abyss from which it's come. And I decree in the name of Jesus that this radio medium that's being used even right now, God, that you can use it for healing. Let them hear this tonight, God. Let them hear it wherever they may be, in their living room, in their car, their den, wherever place they may be, Father. I thank you that the anointing and the power of the Holy Spirit rest on this transmission, and I praise you for what you're doing. I thank you for what I feel right now. I thank you, God, that you're shaking up some stuff. You are releasing some stuff, and you're forgiving some debt for some people. I don't know who that's for, but I hear the Lord saying, I am going to forgive the debt, and I am going to release the resources. In the name of Jesus, Father, do what only you can do. In Jesus' name, amen.
In Jesus' name, amen, amen. Well, we thank you, audience, and we hope that you will join us next week on Thursdays at 7 p.m. Pacific Standard Time for Processing the Pain with yours truly, Coach D. And also on Tuesday evenings, we have Woman to Woman at 7 p.m. Pacific Standard Time. And the first Monday of every month, we have Relentless Pursuit at 6:30 p.m. Pacific Standard Time with Philandus Harris and Tamika Sanders. I want to do a shout out to my team on tonight, Tamika and Philandus. Thank you so much, and God bless you and everything that you're putting your hands to, that you would just continue to prosper. So again, I thank you, audience, and we look forward to resuming next week. Thank you. Man of God, hold on.